I'm Dina Del Bucchia.
And I'm Daniel Zamparelli.
And this is Can't Lit.
Can't Lit. Talk about books and stuff.
Welcome to episode 30 of Can't Lit. Dina is texting.
Mm-hmm.
We've also got special guest Charles Demers.
Thank you.
Do you say Demers or Demers?
Demers.
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 Yeah, it's one of those things where...
I change it constantly.
Yeah, well, you know when you have... So none of them is, I guess, technically correct. So the name in actuality is Demers. But then, you know, when you have a non-English name and live in an English situation.
Yeah.
Which is what I think I've been in for a while now. An English situation. You settle on the anglicization that...
That you feel most comfortable
well,
with?
Well, aren't you both in that position? You both have names that would not necessarily be pronounced the way God intended
people
on a daily basis.
Pronounce Zamparelli correctly quite a lot. Mm. Like, that's not ever the issue. It's how they spell it that becomes...
Oh.
Yeah. They add, they throw in letters that... Like, they're just like, there's a C in this.
It's from a different alphabet.
Yeah.
It's half Cyrillic.
Daniel Zampacelio was the best.
Zampacelio?
Yeah.
I love that name.
Recently from the Capilano Review, Daniel Fromparelli.
Fromparelli.
Yeah.
Oh, when we, there was that video and you were Daniel Zamparelli.
Oh, that was great. When Vancouver Sun couldn't even spell my name.
Yep, that's really funny. My name is mispronounced.
Yo, I mispronounced your name for a long time.
Yeah.
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 What do you get?
Del Bucchia, or just sometimes they'll leave out part of the name. Like sometimes it'll just be Bucchia.
Bucchia.
Like if I go pick up a prescription,
that's
I don't know
good,
if it's going to be under
like
D
that.
Or B. Like it doesn't matter. I'm like, just check all of them.
Yeah. Check ethnic.
I just want my drugs, please. Please.
But so yeah, Demers is the kind of go-to.
I also had a second question to that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why that was so funny.
Do you, like, when, as an author, you're Charles, right?
Yeah, I typically,
Charles.
The kind of general...
Because you want to be respected?
No, it's that, you know what it is? I like the way it...
Daniel!
I'm not funny, you're just bad at swallowing.
You're not the first person. Nailed it.
It's so nice to not have to be responsible for the smut quotient of a conversation.
Yeah,
to just finally be able to sit back and not. I typically, the kind of rule of thumb is like written down, I write Charles, and spoken, I tend to say Charlie.
Okay. Because I feel like for hosting your book launch, me and Dina were talking about it, and I was like, no, we say Charles because it's his author name.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that's the other thing, the general kind of shorthand is, I guess, like, author is Charles, comedian is Charlie. But that also, I don't know, it's not a hard and fast kind of thing. When I was born, my name was chosen specifically so that it worked ambidextrously for both languages, right? The idea was that no one in my family would not be able to say my name. It would be Charles Daniel David Demers or Charles Daniel David Demers. I would be Charlie. I would be Charlot. I was both those things. My parents loved every iteration of the name with the exception of Chuck, which they both hated and which I was called from like grade one until I was 21 years old. And so in school and in T-ball and scouts and all, Cubs, I never did scouts. But I was Chuck all through that.
Do you remember who instigated this abomination of your name?
It was a T-ball thing where they gave me
of
a hat.
Of course it was fucking T-ball.
Yeah.
God, stupid baseball related things.
We had personalized hats and I guess they felt like that was close enough. And anyway, they gave me
maybe
this Chuck.
Maybe they already had a Chuck Matt hat that was already made.
A kid who died like right before the season started.
Well, we can still reuse his hat.
Exactly.
We'll never tell Charles.
Yeah. At least you get you can fully lean into hating that because it's like, here, we're going to play baseball, but we're going to be shitty. We're going to put it on a pole and we're going to call you Chuck.
Yeah, yeah. It's a, and then later I had the same thing happen where I started a job and they had a name tag that said Chucky. And they gave me Chucky. And for months, people at this workplace called me Chucky. But so I had plans to reclaim not being called Chuck from about halfway through my teenage years. But just was, never had the, you know, guts to kind of pull the trigger on it. And then finally, I wrote a piece for the newspaper at SFU, The Peak, and I wrote it as Chuck Demers. And then I started getting more involved with the newspaper, and I was going to be writing for them routinely. And I was like, no, you know what? Now I'm putting my name onto the public domain to whatever extent I will go back to Charlie. And so I interviewed George Bowering, of whom I had never heard, as he was retiring from SFU. That was like the first news piece that I wrote for The Peak, was I interviewed Bowering on his retirement. And that was the story that first carried the byline, Charlie Demers. And then I started writing it down as Charles, like, years later. Because I just, something about the way, I love the sound of Charlie, but the way it looks written down feels somehow incomplete.
Well, it had the matching S's, which look very beautiful together.
I really,
from a poet's perspective, it's a really good choice.
I have always loved my name. Like, I know people get stuck with a name that they hate, which seems like it must just be the shittiest fucking
thing. I also love my
thing.
Name. Do you love your name?
That's fine.
But you guys have great names.
I'm really into my name.
But
my
it looks good. Nice. And looks, I like the way Charles Demers looks written down. I think it's a pretty, like, it looks
so
nice.
So should we be telling people to just be sending you a lot of cross stitches?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of just, you just the word name. Chuck crossed out. Yeah. And then, no, but now.
Like the circle with the line through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, the Chuck thing now has been reduced enough that when I hear it, it's kind of fun. Like, it's like, oh, old timey. Like, so if somebody calls me Chuck, I know they know me from like 20 years ago or older. And since it's not like what I'm called, right. I do think that it's a better stand-up comedian's name. I think Chuck Demers
Have been.
It's too close to Chuck D.
Well, no, that was always to my benefit.
Oh, it even feels so harsh, you just saying Chuck
Demers. Chuck Demers. It's a mostly bowling-themed comedy. Like, yeah. I just feel like, to me, it's like a champion bowler's name. Yeah. It's Chuck Demers.
I don't like it.
Chuck.
So, Daniel, tell us what you really think. So we talked a lot about names, which I appreciate. Charlie, do you want to tell us what's happening with you?
Ooh. Well, I've just legally changed my name back to Chuck.
Great. And my erection's gone.
Yeah.
It's good because it gets in the way of the podcast a lot. It's like a real...
That knocking sound you keep hearing is either Dina trying to swallow this totally unintegrated guacamole that like basically looks like billiard balls.
I knew Charlie was going to make fun of this guacamole.
Or it's Daniel's erection.
It's like erection. Lots of dirt in a bowl. Or it's Daniel's erection ruining the recording like it always does. Just like bumping into the mixing thing.
The mixing thing. Yeah.
Which I didn't use to make the guacamole.
I'm good. I'm like, I get to go into kind of a semi fallow or semi hibernation period. I like, I'm about to move into what I'm hoping will be a much more domestic phase now, where I get to spend a lot more time with my kid and not do as much work outside of the house. It's been kind of a nutty few months. Like about 2 years now, actually. Like from just before the baby was born until now, I just had signed on to do more things than I could do. And it's actually been really awful. Like, it's just, and it's been this weird thing where, like, for everyone who kind of, you know, follow or like is following what's going on, it's just, it looks like everything's finally, you know, going well. Like, there was a book and then there was the panto and then I did this play and like, and so it kind of looks like, hey, isn't that a wonderful thing? And then inside, it just, like, from inside of it, it was just such a nightmare. And then I felt bad because I didn't want for it to, like, when people said, like, so how is everything going? I didn't feel like I wanted to say nightmarish. Like, it was, but it was, it hasn't been fun. Like, it's been a really crazy while work-wise. And so I'm really now, like, ultra looking forward to, like, being able to read and being able to, like, I'll still be working, but I'm hoping to go low to ground for a few months at least, which I'm very, very excited about.
Yeah, because you had the panto ended, what, was that a month ago?
Yeah, so it ran until basically the beginning of January. And then I went into rehearsals for the for Leftovers. And I mean, once the panto was up and going, it's not something that involved me too much, but I was, you know, involved fairly intensely right up until opening night. And, you know, this was a few weeks after the book came out, and it was just like, and it's been great. Like, it was because people want to talk to you about the book, and people like, the Zoe Grahams from ZG Communications, she was getting publicity for the book and was like this amazing. She's very good at her job.
She's the best.
Yeah, and
your book was like in like to me ultimate sex.
Yeah, well, it's a book about ultimate sex. How to have
it? I gotta keep this erection down. Yeah. Say Chuck a few more times. The ultimate success for me as a book writer, my head was like, if your book's at the airport. And so every time I passed your book at the airport, I was like, wow.
Yeah, it was well, there was one point where like you could get it on the pre-security side, but you couldn't get it on the post-security side, which made me feel kind of badass.
Because of those French flaps?
Yeah, the French flaps are keeping people away.
Yeah.
Just so everyone knows, Charlie has written a book called The Horrors. And that is the book we are talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to give a heads up to our listeners, he wrote...
we're jumping ahead.
Or worked with... why am I drawing a blank? On this panto that was...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So the panto is through Theater Replacement. Veda Hilly is the musical director. Yeah. And so Veda and I kind of... we've done three. We've sort of written them together in the sense that, like, I write the scripts and she writes the lyrics. The first two were directed by Ami Gladstone, and then the this third one was directed by Stephen Drover, and it was a lot of fun, and it's been this thing that like people really got into, and it's really grown over the course of the 3 years. But yeah, I'm just like Kara and I talk about my wife, Kara and I talk about this a lot, like that we kind of made this really dumb decision ahead of the baby being born. That because she was going to go on mat leave, I was just going to say yes to absolutely everything that anyone presented.
That very much explains your past 2 years.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That and really breaks it down.
Yeah, yeah. So it was just if somebody wanted me to come up to like Prince George to do two nights of stand up, I did that. If any kind of writing project, if UBC wanted me to take on an extra course, like whatever it was, the answer was always yes. And that was only supposed to last for the first year. And this is literally how my kid just turned 2, and this is how long that decision, like the fallout from that was. Yeah. But what nobody tells you, or what nobody told me, is that you don't need money in the first year. Like you need money to like pay your rent and buy. Yeah. But like a newborn costs nothing. Unless you're bougie and like you're, you know what I mean? Like
get them Gucci loafers.
People can make a baby cost $1 million, right? But it doesn't really. And so that part was like, but I've talked to a lot of other fathers about this. And that seems to be the two ways that it breaks are either you want to stay home and be with your family, or you have this crazy kind of breadwinner, you know, Ozzie and Harriet kind of pre-feminist conception of what you're supposed to do,
right?
Kick in to overdrive. And for a lot of us, it's weird because we get that and we feel guilty about it politically, but it's not enough to like cancel it out. So you just carry those two shitty feelings of like, I want to be the like crew cut breadwinner of my family and also feel bad about the way in which that reinforces everything that I hold to be not the way things should be. So it was just like kind of a weird 2 years with this like wonderful thing of having the baby.
Yeah.
And then just like tossed in with the, it's kind of like this guacamole.
Yeah, the way back to it. Daniel, would you say this guacamole is delicious?
I'm not going to get into any of this. I'm just going to let this happen.
I'm going to come down on you so hard. Daniel, tell us what's
careful,
happening.
He has a giant erection.
I know. I'm going to steer clear of it.
No, wait. Chuck. Yeah.
Chuck.
My what's happening is that, as me and Charlie were talking before, is I'm moving, so there's stuff in boxes. Mm-hmm. And the thing I'm scared about is that I'm switching over to a homeowner, which means I automatically lose all my Vancouver friends. Right?
Wait, you're buying a house?
Yeah. Oh, an apartment. Wow. But
yeah, this is the last time that. Charlie's going to talk to you.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Like you've got me read all wrong. I'm entirely about social climbing, couched in the language of class struggle.
That's cool.
But I
really like that as a
Here's the thing.
Tactic.
If you're like left wingers who come from rich families, they'll be angry. But if you didn't grow up with money, you can still be a socialist, but then still all you want is shit like...
Yeah, I could not agree more with everything this man is saying. Where I'm just like, yeah.
Yeah.
Drop diamonds on me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Drop them right on my body, even if they're super heavy and they cut me. I want them.
Rent's so crazy in Vancouver that I was like, okay, I need to go live on my own so that...
Yeah.
Because my boyfriend stays with me and is going to be staying with me for a long time. And...
That's nice.
That's nice.
That we'll and that we in Vancouver will get his essence and presence for an extended period.
I'm just gonna come over and sniff him every
day. Yeah.
But it was like the mortgage and borrowing money from my dad would be cheaper than the rent.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I guess I gotta finally do this. Mm-hmm. But I have like that weird like guilt of like being an owner in Vancouver and knowing how terrible it is for people, and you're just like, I feel like this is like, Vancouver's like a war zone, and now I'm on the bad side.
But it's also, I mean, the reason to hate people is because of their shittiness, and you're not shitty. So,
oh, no, but I'm going to be shitty now.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay,
now
cool.
Yeah, as long as you're looking for a higher class of
this podcast is going to be a real nightmare.
Yeah, next week is going to be Daniel Zamparelli and like Belinda Stronach hosting the
And
Can't
then I'm
Live
just like that. Recording one by myself where I just cry you're and put out. It out once a week.
Back on the trail to trail with Dina Del Buque.
Yeah. I'm going to, like, as soon as I move into this place, start texting you, Charlie, and just being like, hey, Chuck. Hey, buddy. Yeah. What's up, bud?
Bowling, ?
Yeah.
Bowling and chill, ?
But he's only going to be doing that because his new apartment is giving him so many erections.
Bumping into things.
Yeah, he, like, can't,
all the
it
time.
Is, he can't
yeah.
do
it
anything.
It is adorable. Yeah.
No, but although if your boyfriend and his essence are here... Hopefully that clears up part of this erection problem. I mean, theoretically.
Yeah, let's hope. During his long stay.
Who said it was a problem?
No, that's true. So what does your new place look like?
It's only a problem for us right now.
Much smaller than this place.
Yeah.
It looks like a chalet, I think.
Oh, I think I know the building you're talking about.
It's like next to that church.
Oh, that's so cute. What
it's
a
adorable,
neat
right?
little place.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's so cool.
Really
I mean, I do feel like
there.
It's going to crumble as soon as I move into it.
Yeah, yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
That's
like,
100% going to happen.
Reading it's like strata minutes and everything, you're like, well, I'm just going to fall apart into this tiny place
when
that
was
I
it
paid
built?
So much. 1994.
Ooh.
No, it's
okay.
It's past leaky condo stage.
Oh, that's past? Oh, yeah. Okay. Good, good.
Yeah, so that part's fine.
That's fun.
But there's definitely parts where you're like,
Like,
we'll see what happens.
Oh, that's nice, though. No, I have nothing but happiness in my heart for you. Yeah.
But that's all that's happening with me. Dina, what's happening with you?
I'm alive. I've been trying to get back into my 95 books reading because I've been much slower. In 2016 that I was in 2015.
2015, you went hard.
I went really
didn't you? You
hard.
You were one of the overs, weren't you?
I was an over, yeah. And I
you and Doretta Lau.
And Nikki.
Yeah.
Reimer, yeah.
And I felt really good. So I feel like I've been reading a lot more novels, though, which is good because I love
but
reading
that's
novels.
That's just my beef with 95 books, is it's just poets do it because you read a book in an afternoon.
Last year I read about 50-50 prose
that's wild.
And poetry, which still was a lot.
Yeah, I actually, last year mine was more, I mean, I didn't make it, so fuck me, but.
That's what I said.
Indeed.
I wrote a blog post about it.
But mine was mostly like short fiction and fiction.
Yeah, so I've been reading a lot more novels, but I finally read the first book in the Elena Ferrante Neapolitan novels, My Brilliant Friend, and I was kind of like, that was fine. And then I have been just having weird conversations with everyone who's like a weird convert who's looking to her like she's some kind of like feminist writing god, and I'm like, I don't know why you guys are so
it
invested
just felt
in
like
this.
A book it, but don't you think it's too late to get in on a thing like Elena Ferrante, because no. it's just
because
like,
the most recent book just came out too. So I yeah. think that like there still are a lot of people that are
but
reading
I just
it from
mean,
the beginning.
The expectations been oh right, put, it, like it's, I mean, it's impossible to read her as they read her.
I'm a writer, but I also am a bookseller, and I spend a lot of time like recommending books and reading books and talking about books with people in different ways, like not just as a person looking at craft or in an academic way, but just as a person who enjoys things. And that's how I try to read for the most part, unless I really want to break down structure or whatever's going on. But with this book, I just had only heard from people that I know such good things.
Yeah.
And normally that's a good sign for me. I'm like, yeah, these people are smart and I like them and stuff they like is cool and I like it. But then when I read it, I don't know. I just don't know how you can make one of my favorite things, stories about teen girls, not super fascinating to me.
Mm.
Yeah. So that was the other thing.
Was there any betrayal?
There's tons of betrayal.
Oh. Then how did they bore that?
You know, I think the thing for me was that there's a lot of summary in the book as opposed, and there was scenic stuff too.
Although I really dig that. I
yeah,
love
see,
it
some
when
people
novels
love it.
Do summaries.
Yes, I was comparing it to Dickens.
To just
I was like,
read
this
the
is
back
like
of
Dickens,
a book.
Where just like they're saying a bunch of stuff happened, and I'm yeah. like, yeah, but just I want to feel like I'm invested, and I just never really got there. So I don't know. There are moments in the book that are so beautiful, and there are these really cool feminist statements. And there's really interesting things happening with the dynamic of the two friends. But overall, when I just started skimming super hard because I was like, I just wanted to say that I read this now.
Wait like, a minute. You can skim on 95
oh,
books?
Yeah. Fuck yeah, you can.
Oh, you gotta skim.
Yeah. See, this is what I
Wait,
mean. You guys are all like bullying people like me
I'm
who make it through like
you.
30 books a year or
Have
something
I ever
like that.
Bullied you?
No, but I always
Did I come
do
to your
feel...
house and I put a flaming bag of shit on your doorstep?
I've never not felt inadequate bullied. Whenever I see the 95 books hashtag. Like post January like 20th. And because I'm a very slow reader. I'm very, very
We've
slow.
Had this conversation.
I'm a yeah. very fast reader.
Yeah.
Also.
But like, then I'm also
normally,
like.
But I normally don't skim at all.
But to me, somebody being able to read 95 books, that's like when, you know, and you, not to make this the Vancouver homeowner thing, but as a metaphor, oh, you know, great. When you look at your, you know, when you have like friends who buy a place and you're like, how did they do that? Like,
yeah,
I'm living
course.
In
that's
the same economy as this person. And then you find out like, oh, they somebody in their family died and they got all this money or yeah. whatever. And you're like, yeah. oh, well,
that
I could have done that. So when I found
I
out 95 bucks with yeah. skimming, then yeah. I started thinking, oh, again. So I'm not the loser that I thought I was.
Totally. And again, I fully admit that I did skim parts of this book because I was just like, I don't even know if I need to know if this is happening.
Right.
I don't know. Also, I fully admit that I'm a shitty asshole. Like, that's fine also for yeah. people to just be like, you don't want to like the thing everyone the likes. And that's not it. I do want to like stuff.
Yeah.
I'm very into liking things.
Yeah.
Big fan.
I like that you feel Huge bullied fan. By 95 books.
I do too. I think it's great.
So, yeah, it's a uniquely disempowering thing for me. Just because it's a weird thing where like I love books so much and they're this huge part of my life and I have terrible or I have what would conventionally be considered terrible reading habits. Yeah. Like I read 5 or 6 things at once. They're like baby sea turtles. Like I finish one of them maybe. And so I feel like I'm constantly reading and yet I never finish.
You're not
books.
Finishing books.
But that's, yeah, and that's also why I got into 95 books because one of the rules, like don't start a new book without finishing. So it actually taught, and it's still a process I'm trying to do where it teaches me to actually, like it's teaching me good reading skills where I finish a book.
Right.
Rather than I do the same thing. Like you'll see my books and you'll see like a book within a book within a book to show which page I'm at.
Right. Right.
And then I'll be like, well, didn't finish any 5 of these.
Yeah.
I do really like the focus of just being immersed in one book.
Yeah.
Like I feel I like it. It's enjoyable. Also in the summer, all I'm doing is reading. I'm ignoring people. I am going to the beach.
Yeah.
I'm becoming very brown and I am just reading every single day.
Yeah.
Like, that's the time when I can get in
well,
my
what blows
most
me
reading.
Away is somebody like Marita,
right.
who has 3 kids.
She's only started doing it for the first time this year and
I
actually
know.
Documenting it.
Yeah, yeah.
But
and,
yeah,
and
I feel
guess,
like
and
it's
I guess
gonna
two
be a
of her
surprise.
Kids are in school or whatever. But, like, you know,
no,
she's
it's
at
amazing.
Something like 12 or 15 books
See,
already.
See, but
yeah. right?
don't read in too much of that because I was that last year.
Yeah.
I was at like 15 or 17 by and the, like and big books.
Yeah.
And then, oh, did I bomb?
Really?
And then now, like 2016, I've read 0 books.
Right.
So I'm really behind. And I've also never made the 95 also, mark.
Like, I find reading is super calming. So at night before I go to bed, I'm just like, I'm just gonna read for this amount of time.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna let my brain be super chill.
Oh no, yeah. I like to get really anxious I at like night to get, before bed.
No.
Sorry, can I be clear too that my Marita thing was yes. just that
oh, I'm no, impressed she's amazing.
When someone with kids can, because like what you're describing, the summer you just I'm described, just like, that's a pre
yeah.
Yeah, that's it's a non child.
It's just
sorry,
a,
yeah.
a never.
That's a non child
yeah.
summer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I say pre
I
because
like
that's what summer's.
Jobs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's important
so you remember
to keep
check.
That in perspective.
I just, yeah, I just meant pre in the sense that I did have summers like that.
Yeah.
Like,
I
just
did.
Don't anymore.
Just yeah. bring your child to the beach.
Yeah. Just bring, yeah. Because if there's
She's
one thing
be
I
so
know,
chill.
They're never going to drown.
Kids are
fine.
Safe near water
yeah,
without
fine.
Any
no
supervision.
No drowning.
Yeah. They're, that's the first thing they tell you at the hospital. When they're born, they go, listen, never shake this baby. But the good news is it's waterproof.
Loves the beach.
Yeah. They can't
really
sink.
Bouncy.
Yeah. Except
do,
this one kid, Chuck, who died in the mid-80s. But good news, after he drowned, they were able to use his hat.
this other kid who hated his name got it. It's really yeah. awesome.
He played T-ball. It's yeah. fine.
Well, that's interesting. Because, yeah, I don't know. I like reading multiple books. Or, you know, like sometimes you have a book that you don't hate enough to not finish.
Oh, I have lots of
those. But you don't like enough
yes.
for it to be the only thing that you're reading.
Definitely.
Oh, tons of those, yeah.
And so I feel
that's
like...
That's how other books usurp and you finish first because you're like, this one's better.
Well, exactly.
And you just want to get super into it.
So
yeah.
I read that Widow Basquiat.
Yep. Oh, and, that book is so good.
Yeah. And ooh. So that I read... pretty quickly, pretty straightforwardly, but I'm also reading whatchamacallit, The Talented Mr. Ripley. Mm-hmm. And it's like
that's a movie though.
it's good, or I can see why people like it.
Right.
And it's good, like but the same thing happened. So like I read an Elmore Leonard, my first time ever reading mm-hmm. Elmore Leonard this year. And it was just like I just read right through
you just,
it.
Yeah, you can get into it.
And like The Talented Mr. Ripley, I want to finish it. But if I were only reading that, I would go a couple days at a time without reading anything. Because I'd go, do I really want
to,
some, you know, this murderer in the 60s trying to, yeah.
Because again, I felt the same way. I understood why people liked it. And there were things about yeah. it, like, you know, ideologically that I agreed with and all this other stuff, but then I was like, I just want this to be done.
What if you start a book at the end of December?
Like, I think you can carry it over if you
them.
Finish it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've had that before.
Finish
too,
them in January? Because
yeah.
like I've finished yeah. two books.
There you go.
That's
in
like
January
my favorite
so far,
start.
I think. But yeah, but I don't know when I started them. I can't remember.
That's fine.
That
I feel like you just can count your end
that's
date.
Legit.
Count
yeah.
your end date. Yeah.
It's also like, this isn't like a real thing.
Jonathan
right?
Ball is coming to your house if you don't do it.
But what's the point in doing it if it's not...
To me, it keeps track, like, because I'm in the book industry and because, like, people get me to write reviews and because I have to do reviews or people ask me to do recaps or things like that, I have to remember what books I read that year.
Yeah, yeah.
To be like, wait, what can I talk about? Yeah. Even, like, when we were supposed to do that Rusty Took year-end thing, I was like, I don't know what books I read this year. I'm like, oh, wait, I did that thing.
Yeah.
But then also that made me... like, oh, I can't even like lie and be like, I read this book. Cause, like, say, you when you read half of it and you're like, this is a pretty good book. It
yeah,
should be
yeah.
on some sort of list, but I didn't finish it. You can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Cause no. people could just check and be like, you didn't read
you
it.
You didn't read that. Yeah. I definitely feel that where you're like, well,
see,
no more lies.
Your way into this was, you know, this is not a real thing. And now you're treating it like the Hansard record of like parliamentary proceedings.
So that is how I've been
yeah.
treating
not a
it
real
always.
Thing.
Yeah.
I've been treating it like that the whole time.
Yeah.
Full stop.
Because also I read so many people's like unpublished manuscripts
yeah.
to offer edits and...
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, and I sometimes count that because I'm like, well, I spent so fucking long reading this like twice that I'm like, I at least get to count it once.
Yeah,
you counted
yeah,
mine.
Yeah, yeah.
I definitely counted yours. But then I also started feeling bad about counting unpublished manuscripts. Mm.
I just took it as a sign that it's definitely going to be published.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah, then they can say, I've made a list. I was on a list of things read.
Daniel's shitty Tumblr.
Will I have to go another year of pretending that I'm going to publish that book?
Yeah.
Who knows? Will I cry about it every day? Hard to say.
Poetry?
No, fiction.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I've been working on it for like 10 years.
That's
yeah.
very exciting.
What a nightmare I am.
Speaking of books and nightmares.
Once you get it published, you'll be able to buy a house in Vancouver.
Do I have to publish fiction? Daniel's only published poetry.
You just have to borrow most of the money from your dad.
Yeah. Oh, Henry. What's up? What are you doing?
Or my dad. Who cares?
Oh my God. Can your dad please just give me money? What do I need to do?
He'd be your landlord, though, and he'd be a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
And it's not but a nice guy.
And he's loaning you at 2.5 points.
As someone who was a teen girl, I'm super good at fighting with people.
Okay.
So I'm ready for it.
See, if the book's like that,
yeah, you
can give me more.
I'm ready. Yeah, I'm ready, guys. Yes. Charles.
Please.
I mean, Chuck.
Yeah. Should we restart the recording?
We already talked about it. It's called, well, we mentioned its name, The Horrors in A to Z of Funny Thoughts on Awful Things. Published by the fine people at Douglas and McIntyre. I'm holding it up as though anyone can see it, but these two
No, you
people,
you held it up so that you could
read the Douglas
check
and McIntyre.
The, I thought it was fine. Yeah. No, but that's good. No, that's
it's beautiful.
It almost didn't come. Well, the thing with Douglas
and
McIntyre,
the whole big thing.
I made like
rigmarole.
Yeah. So
I don't know this.
Well, because I was brought in by Trina White, who when she was the publisher at Douglas and McIntyre,
right.
She, you know, we kind of Twitter knew each other or whatever, and she knew that she wanted me to write a humor book. And so she was just like, you know, we kind of went out for lunch and very casually talked about, you know, the possibility. And then she saw me host at the BC Book Awards. I can't remember what year it was. It was the year that Half-Blood Blues won for... fiction.
I don't know. You'd have to give me a poetry winner for me to remember.
Who won poetry? It was Lorna Crozier's husband.
Oh, was that 2013?
Patrick Lane.
Yeah.
Because
he was the only winner there. Like this is what I'm saying. So,
was this the year when it was in Victoria?
No, it was in Vancouver. So Chuck Davis, his Vancouver book, won everything it was nominated for, and he had died, so
he
it was posthumous.
I remember that.
So Chuck Davis wasn't there. Essie Adouyan won for fiction, yeah. And she wasn't able to be there. Someone else won for something else and wasn't there, and like Patrick Lane was like literally the only person there. So it was the most...
I think I remember that one, because I think that's when my book was up for that year and didn't get anything.
It's possible.
It won my heart.
That was J.J. Lee was also nominated for.
I think it was that year.
Yeah. So anyway,
I remember being like Patrick Lane.
It was a totally deflated book prizes because the whole night was just and accepting on behalf of so and so. Like no one was there, and I happened to be very very funny that night. Like it was just like it was a really good set.
Yeah.
And it was very easy for me to be the highlight of the evening because everyone who was there lost. Like, so there was no great energy in the room.
I bet it also wasn't just that you were the highlight. You probably saved it.
Well,
you
so
saved
anyway,
the event.
According to BC Book World,
I'm telling
I did.
You
yeah.
right now. Of course you did.
Yeah. So there is some newspaper archival evidence to suggest that what you're saying is true.
Great. Yay.
But so anyway, it was one of those things where then Trina, after that night, was like, more like she really wanted to do something, and right. She was like, so let's just come in and you float some ideas, we'll talk about some ideas, we just wanted to. And so I came in and I pitched this idea, and she just like she immediately loved it. We didn't talk about anything else. Nobody else's ideas got floated.
You had multiple ideas, and this was just the first one?
I can't remember if I had multiple ideas, or we were supposed to come with a couple.
I hope you had so many ideas, and then she was like, great, this is it.
That's it. Stop talking. Leave and start typing.
Burn everything else you thought of.
Yeah.
Don't.
Yeah. But so the reason that I bring up how much she connected to the idea immediately was that a few weeks later, when Douglas and McIntyre went bankrupt... And, like, my contract was, like being sent to the, like, from the computer to the printer, like, as they're declaring bankruptcy. We had no idea what was going to happen with the book. And all we knew was that D&M was gone. And So we started pitching it around to other places, and nobody was remotely into it. like whatever Trina's immediate synaptic response was, like, everyone else was the opposite. They were like, ugh.
Listen,
stinkaroo.
Chuck.
Like, yeah. And people were like, look, we like some of your writing, like, come up with a different idea. Like, and so that process of pitching, trying to come up with different ideas or pitching various different things, like, filled the time in which D&M took to, like, rise again from the ashes. And they resurrected the offer, like, pretty close to what the offer was. And I said, well, by that time, Trina was working with Page Two and doing consulting, and she was doing some editing and stuff like that. And I said, well, Trina just got this from the beginning, and I would really love to work with her on it. Will you hire her to edit? And they did. And so it ended up being that I got to work with Trina. She edited it, which was amazing. And she's terrific to work with. And so it almost wasn't a Douglas and McIntyre book, but it was in the end.
That's the thing. I always, because I know now D&M is dead, and I always want to say D&M, but it's supposed to be Douglas and McIntyre. They used to be like D&M Publishers, right? And then they had different branches. Whatever. It's all boring.
Yeah.
To me, I just never know who to tag on Twitter when I'm referring to books.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah.
That's true.
There's definitely a dead Twitter account that I keep, like, using.
There for sure is. Yeah.
Of Drowned Chuck. Yeah. Drowned _ Chuck, for 86.
For a long time, I was still getting notifications for people that people used to tweet at Duffy all the time, and I'd be like, I gotta stop doing this. Like, and then I just got out. I was like, I can't have this attached anymore.
It's just sad, old people being like, where are you?
It was super sad, and I was like, what? No, I don't want to.
The Twitter account for the City News List is still active, like, which we got canceled in like February of 2010.
And that was your guys' fake news show.
It wasn't a fake news show. It was like a news panel conversation show.
But it was like comedy.
Comedy, yeah. Okay. So it was me, Erica Sigurdsson, Graham Clark, and Paul Bay.
Okay.
And it was canceled right before the Olympics. And the Twitter account is still live.
That's also when Duffy
his closed.
Is
still running?
Yeah, Duffy closed the first week of February 2010.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm. Because they were going to stay open for another week, and I had a really bad flu. So I called in. I was like, I know I already didn't come in yesterday. I cannot come in. And Kathy, the owner at the time, she's like, that's it. We're closing. And I was like, so I to this day feel bad that they closed early because I was so sick that
that's
I couldn't come
amazing.
In. And I feel like shit about
you
know it.
But
all
you
the
do
time.
Have a little piece of Lower Mainland history.
It's
in
so
your
weird.
Now.
She was like, that's it. We're closing up today. I was like, no, this is my fault.
No, that's worth it to have that. Like my dad was working Dispatch the day that the rooftop parkade at Save-On Foods collapsed into the Save-On, and he took that emergency call. He answered the phone.
Big deal.
I mean, that's I've been dining out on that for 25 years. I haven't paid for a meal anywhere. I just go, hey, you remember Save-On Foods? My dad answered that call, and they just bring out, you know, necklaces.
That joke bought you a home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now you have a beautiful condo.
I live at Jimmy Pattison's house. I'm like, hey, if you want me to quit talking about Kayvon Foods,
give me a big house.
Yeah.
I feel the like biggest one you got.
That is a deal I feel like I could have struck or something close to it.
You should have done something.
Mm-hmm. I would have. He would have bargained me down to just like stand at his place for a couple weeks. That was one of those news stories where the name was too perfectly set
too
up to.
Good.
So like the Anthony Weiner, that was the next best time that happened. Of like a guy who showed his dick being named Weiner.
Yeah.
Save-On Foods caving in to Kayvon Foods.
That's good. I didn't like Anthony Weiner thing. I was just like, that's too much.
Well, like, it is too much, too on but the no nose. One asked for it. No, it's on the dick. Like, yeah. No one asked for him to be named Wiener. And when you have that name, I mean, with great power comes great responsibility. Yeah. You owe it to your whole family never to have a dick-related scandal.
That's why I was like,
no, you have
doing?
To whip it out. I disagree.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it's the opposite. You got to pull it out.
Just constant
dick
smattery.
Hey guys.
Yeah.
just flips out. Oh,
there's Wiener again, yeah.
Yeah. You know me.
Playing t-ball. So I have a game related to your book.
Oh.
And we'll see if this fails or not.
Okay.
Who knows? I'm a homeowner now. I don't know. Nothing can fail.
Yeah. It's like, the book's great. The end.
Oh, yeah. Did I stop us from talking about the book?
I think we... I don't know. Did we? Do we have enough info about what the book is? I don't think so.
To play a game? It's a book of alphabetically organized essays about horrible subjects.
Okay.
So the idea is that I tried to write a funny essay about a bad thing for every letter of the alphabet.
The thing I loved about reading it was I had a similar idea. I remember when I was a very, very young writer, I was like, oh, I'll do this.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'll write about how everything's terrible, but how to deal with it. And then I read your book and I was like, whoa, I'm so glad I didn't write that book because somebody wrote a good version of it.
Oh, that's... Then I saw this... Jenny Lawson had a book come out, like, I don't know.
Her book is different.
Is it? Okay, because I haven't read it yet, because it was
one of those... I haven't read the whole thing.
I don't know this guy.
Well, it's a very similar premise.
The concept is very similar.
It's a very similar concept. A virtually identical subtitle, but from just a far, far, far more well-known and accomplished author, which is always a difficult...
Right.
It's a difficult thing. I remember asking... Russell Smith did a reading from Muriela Pent at the Vancouver Public Library once, and I quite liked that book, and I went down and to hear the reading, and I wanted to ask him about On Beauty, the Zadie Smith book, which had some sort of similar kind of like class and racial politics through the prism of like kind of quasi-academic like art world stuff.
Right.
And I'm sort of setting up the question, and I guess he hadn't read Zadie Smith's book and was just like, oh, great. Like, nice to hear that. That,
ooh,
like, internationally known Zadie Smith has written so it's, when I saw the Jenny Lawson thing on Amazon, I, like, like, my heart sank, and I was, like, so terrified for maybe a few days, maybe a week, and then it never really came up, and so I figured that the books must be different enough that they but I didn't want to read it while I still had to talk about my book, because I just didn't want it in my
It's not in paperback
head.
Yet. Just wait.
No, but I would
always,
like to read it.
That's always a good choice.
Yeah.
Just wait till it comes on paperback.
Yeah.
Before you get involved.
That's why I release all my books just straight into paperback.
Yeah, people love paperbacks,
yeah.
guys.
Yeah.
Don't
yeah.
be offended if your book's not in hardcover. It's because people love paperbacks.
Yeah.
It's my motto,
so
straight
hot.
To pee.
Straight to pee.
Straight to pee.
Well, I mean, I do have French flaps.
That's true.
That you can hide hash behind, which is why they don't have them in the... Why you can't get it on the other
yeah.
side of the security.
I put all my liquids in my French flap.
Yeah. So. Me too. To keep it all...
I put all my liquids in my French flaps is like slang for... I only do it with Quebecois guys.
But also, it's not just that these are like upsetting subjects.
And a
dip-ist these play. Are these are personal essays.
Yeah, they're personal essays.
So it's
essays.
Not just you're like, here's why something, whatever, shitty, is terrible.
Yes,
it's like,
yeah,
this
yeah.
is why it's terrible to me.
Yeah, it's funny because
it
ended up being... which is not what I set out to write, and it's not what I pitched, but it ended up basically being a memoir. Like, it's essentially an autobiography. Like, if you read this book, I genuinely feel this way, like, you know everything significant about me. Like, like very little is, like, when I read it after it was done, I was like, well, I have... two secrets now, like like, or you know, if that, like, it's and all of that was because of deadline stuff. I just didn't have time to self edit or self censor. Like, it was just like, I have to
just like put it all
I
in
have to fill the pages. I can take this out later. this is the lie you tell yourself
never
as you're
think
like
that.
Careening towards a deadline.
Young writers
it
never
will
think
stay
that
in.
Never think that.
But so, yeah, it ended up kind of being a non-linear sort of memoir in a way.
So, it's like a thematic memoir.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, just about life through the twin prisms of, like, shittiness or trauma.
Yeah.
But then also, hopefully, humor, which I think is for me is like what I hope is kind of like a built-in guard against self-indulgence. Like, how do you make it not just a diary?
Right.
Is you because if you're trying to make someone laugh, you're automatically thinking about them.
But then
in
also
the
everything within each individual essay, you know, you're doing all the craft stuff. You're creating these narratives. Like, it's not just here's a bunch of terrible stuff that happened to me. Also jokes.
Yeah.
Like, yes, no. So just so the listener is aware,
the jokes are all in footnote. Form. Yeah. Like, it's all like, afterwards.
They're puns.
End notes. They're not even on the same page. Yeah. You have to go to the back, look at them. Yeah. Like you've really.
Yeah. It's a humor book, but it's a humor book more in the kind of like I would say the joke density is probably closer to something like. A David Rakoff as opposed to like a David Sedaris.
I
like
agree.
It's like not that I'm comparing myself to David Rakoff. He's the you know last person who I would presume to compare myself to, but it's that kind of humor writing. Cuz it's like humor is such a difficult literary category cuz like some of it's just like cornball like crazy joke dense like it's just a little more like gags and like one sentence setups sets up a punchline. And then there's like I've always liked that kind of atmospheric kind of humor writing. Like that to me is a lot more interesting.
Yeah, I agree. It was when we were on Wax Poetic the other day and I was talking about how I'd gone into the new Indigo Spirit on Granville Street because they closed the big chapters downtown. And I was like, oh, what's in here? And then first I was super outraged because they had no poetry section. They just had like a weird like literary mumbo jumbo area. And I was like, this is pure shit. And I was so mad. And then I was loudly talking about it like that old lady, except I am in my mid-30s and I'm...
You're basically an old lady.
But I am an old lady on the inside.
Yeah.
100%.
Vivacious
love yelling,
old lady 69 at hotmail.com.
Nonstop. Yeah.
Oh, did I make the 69 at hotmail.com joke for you on the air? I didn't. So that just came
matter.
Out of nowhere.
Great. So it's perfect.
And it's mostly Phil Hanley's joke anyway.
I mean, it's useful. But yeah. But then also their humor. And then I was getting mad at other sections. I'm like, oh, well, there's two sections of coloring books. And there's this humor section that has like two funny books in it. And everything else is just Twitter books and some Garfield comics. Ugh. So I was just getting super outraged by everything that was happening. I was like, no.
And I think that's been a problem with this book is that like independent booksellers know what to do with it. But... chapters it's
also,
like yeah
you know
it's
what
next
you do
to
with
like
this book?
John's
you put
bathroom
it on display
reader.
Weirdos put it
also,
on display.
Also like there's a
don't
reason
a
chapters
jerk.
Is failing is because they don't know what to do with actual books
I feel like that's true
like
if
me
it's not
trolling
something...
them to get rom-com in it when we'd been covered by like Global News and like Vancouver Sun and Globe and Mail and I was like put us in your fucking stores you assholes
it's the weirdest because I've been going more often to the Granville and Broadway location just because that's now the only place you can buy magazines in Vancouver.
It's
essentially
true. Magazines are really hard to find.
It's like and so chapters is essentially the like
it is like I am thankful for chapters because of Poetry's Dead like that's
yeah
they sell it there and that's
but
great.
But when
nowhere
you look
else
at
carries
the
magazines
books, like if there's like if something is already like a totally commercially like a hit already and typically like internationally, then you'll get this kind of like display right as you come through the door. But otherwise it's like I don't even know how you'd find a book in there. Like it's dizzying. It's strange. They do have they have easily the best magazine selection in the city, which is, you know, for better or for worse, that's...
Well, because every magazine store has closed.
Yeah.
Yep.
Across the street, though, isn't... what's it called? Mayfair News still open? But they don't have anything.
Do you mean Magpie?
No, Magpie used to be on...
Commercial, right?
Yeah, but there's Mayfair News on Broadway.
Yeah, there was
Broadway
specifically
still.
A magazine newsstand, because I'd have to go to it when I worked at Adbusters to confirm that Adbusters was still there.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know about this.
They're right beside Oscars, or Oscars used to be on West Broadway.
And they've got magazines.
Yeah.
They're
a
magazine store,
magazine.
But I don't know if they still have a selection they used
like
to.
They were the biggest there. Selection.
They were, but I don't know what they have.
Because I miss magazines. Like, I subscribe to a few, but it's got to a point now where, like, if you want to see
really
a magazine,
hard.
You just need to subscribe to it.
Yes, it's true. It's really shitty.
Yep.
Well, on that note, let's play a game.
Yeah. The game is called Alphabet of Anxiety.
Oh.
And so I'm going to
Where were you when I was looking for titles?
No, the horse makes more sense.
Except that it sounds to anyone who hears me like I'm talking about my book called The Whores.
That's even better.
It's like I've chosen the rural juror. Like,
yeah. It's literally this is the, very rural juror. Super
go,
into it.
The horrors. Yeah.
The way this
I hope
game
someone
works.
Makes a song about it. And that Jane Krakowski sings it.
The simple way this game works is that I'm going to close my eyes and try and press a letter on my phone.
Okay.
Just to randomly select a letter.
Yeah.
And we're going to round table for a few rounds. Things that
26.
Start, yeah. Things that start.
Each of us have to say 26 things.
Things that obviously start, like the word that starts with that letter that cause you anxiety.
Oh, okay. This is
so Dina may not be as good at this game, but me and Charlie might
anxious.
Be pros at this.
You know what? It's just because I'm a woman and I just carry it differently.
Mm. Okay.
Is that like colds? How they say men have, like, it's like they're colds?
It's, you know, because we do all the emotional labor, so I'm just, like, really good at hiding stuff. I mean, I kind of am also, though. Daniel knows. Anyways, let's continue.
So we'll start Charlie, Dina, and then go around this way.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, I did not press one. Okay.
We'll move in ascending order of erection size.
Yeah, yeah.
Great. Yeah.
The letter is G.
G. Well, the first, I mean, this is kind of obvious, I guess, but the first thing that pops to mind is God. Like,
oh, that's a good one.
I have OCD. It's mostly under control these days, but, OCD, I like the kind of OCD I have is called primary obsessions, and it's about intrusive thoughts. And the three categories that they tend to come in are blasphemy, violence, or inappropriate sexual images.
Okay.
And my first ones were all blasphemy related. So I would like, as a kid, I would go, "I hate you, God." Like in my mind, I would go, "I hate you, God." And then I go, "No, I don't. I don't hate God." Like, but I knew that he could read my thoughts. And yeah. So I had to like,
oh my God, I remember doing that very clearly.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then I had to do all these like elaborate prayers. So I had to do like, anytime I heard a siren, I had to do this long prayer, that it not be for anyone that I knew. And like, I had to then start listing people individually, and it just got more and more Baroque. So I guess I would say like, and I'm not anti-religious. I'm not like, so it's, I'm not saying God from like that kind of like Richard Dawkins piss on your crucifix kind of way. But I would say like it has been a source of both, you know, sometimes comfort, but also anxiety through no fault of God's own. Well, except that he created me and, you know, I've got this deficiency that, you know, he should answer for,
deal
I guess.
With it.
Yeah. But yeah, so G for God.
Good.
Gel nails.
Oh,
because I'm the only person who's chipped like on the first day, and everyone's like, "They last for weeks." I'm like, "Fuck you, mine already chipped. I hate you."
What's
and
a gel
then I
nail?
Have pure. It's like a special kind of polish.
Mm.
You also, it's probably not good for you. You have to put your hands into like UV rays.
Oh, that's
for
right.
them to.
Oh,
it's not good.
A bad
like
one,
I don't
yeah.
really get a lot of manicures, to be fair. But then also to get it off, they have to use acetone and they wrap your nail in like tinfoil and acetone. You're just like, ah, this is not good. But yes, my nails are terrible. And as a result, like they peel and chip. But then also even the nail polish that's supposed to stay on does not. And then I feel very inadequate. I have a lot of inadequacies about like my hands.
That's like a, very ugly. That's like a not fitting a one size fits all situation. Like if gel nails are supposed to stay on.
Yeah, you're just like, no, why? Why can't mine be nice? See, now I'm hiding my hands under the
You have lovely hands, by the way.
People don't look at
their hands. No, you do. They,
I'm so stressed out
about
them always.
You've got nice hands too.
I actually
Daniels
have really
are
nice
amazing.
Hands.
Yeah.
Magically beautiful. Okay, yeah. What's your G?
Gay sex.
Okay, great. Mm.
Next letter.
What's the next letter?
It was D.
D.
Don't say me.
No. But it's so funny. Like, it's so hard not to just do word association. Like, I'm just thinking of, like, D, dad. But my dad doesn't give me anxiety.
Your dad's very nice.
Yeah, I've got a pretty unfraught relationship. D. Diet, I guess,
no, that's
would
a good
be
one.
An ongoing anxiety kind of just that whole thing of like not knowing, like where you're, because you don't want to do the like I've said nothing for 11 seconds now. Anyway, diet. D for diet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Duodenum. Like, I'm always just worried that something's up with mine.
Oh, okay.
What's...
Small intestine.
Okay.
Oh.
That's some science words.
I was like, gel nails, duodenum. I'm assuming that's also a chick thing.
Like a beauty regimen. Yeah, no. I just opted... I don't know. I mean, I poop a lot. The end.
That's pretty good.
Dude, what? Way to undo all the post nice hands sex appeal on the...
Also, duodenum is a great word, and I love it.
It is good. It is so really. Good. Yeah. It's a great...
Duodena del Buc,
yeah.
It's a good...
Daniel, what's yours? Yours is dead, probably.
Disasters of the natural variety.
Oh, yeah.
Because I will sometimes, if I'm having a bad anxiety week, I will start to... My body starts to naturally shake. So then I assume that it's an earthquake, and then I have anxiety attacks about... that it's an earthquake and then I'm going to be sunk into the world and earth.
That's natural.
And
feeling.
It's like until I fall asleep, until I get so tired of shaking that I just fall asleep.
And then
asleep.
You have an earthquake dream nightmare.
Yeah. I've had those before. Those
I
are,
have them all the time.
Yeah.
The whole house rotates in my earthquake version in my nightmare.
See, this is going to sound like so against type for me, but like something like earthquakes or whatever. That's the one thing that I,
you're
so
cool
what
about
I
it.
Hate to be is empowered in a situation. And by doing the wrong thing, I'll bring some sort of disaster.
Yeah, that's
so like
that's
it's something that so once once power or choice is removed from my hands in a
then
situation,
it's cool.
I actually feel liberated. Okay. So something like an earthquake to me, that's
can't
like
do it.
Nothing
can't
I can do.
Yeah,
and so it doesn't even register.
I'm gonna start thinking of it that way.
Okay. That's
good. But then I'll be like, well, the way I tweeted that one thing. Are people going to think that was, wrong? And then that I'll worry about for 3 weeks. And so people will be like, so wait a minute. You live in Vancouver and don't care about earthquakes, but you're worried about that
Twitter
joke. I
also don't really
joke.
Worry about them, except I do have weird dreams about them. But in my waking life, I'm like, I can't do anything about that. Like, it's just going to take me over or not. Okay.
No.
What? Give me a letter.
We'll do the last one, which is C.
Charlie.
No.
I
don't Chuck.
Know. Yeah, Chuck. Yeah. Chuck's my big source of anxiety. Charlie seems like I feel like if I said anything but Charlie, it would be a bit of a cop out.
I did hold back from doing Daniel for D.
Did you? Okay, well then I'll I feel like capitalism is too convenient an answer as well.
But although
it does
also, like,
it does
point.
Give me
like
a lot
totally
of anxiety.
Correct.
So
you can't be like so happy about Wiener showing his wiener and then be like, oh, I'm not going to use capitalism.
that's
well,
true.
Well, then, okay, capitalism. Capitalism is my...
it's really good.
My source of ongoing anxiety, but not in such a way that I don't covet material possession.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? So my dream is to get ridiculously rich through one of the little loopholes in life. You know what I mean?
Isn't that the hope of all artists?
But exactly.
It's
but that's
the
what
artist's dream of wealth, yeah.
Because you want to be the person who gets crazy rich with like the absolute minimum to possible absence.
Right. Yeah. You want
to
be like Shane
Coyson. Exploited anyone else.
Also,
yes.
When people say, what would you do if you had a bunch of money? Like my response is always just make more art. Like my response is never I'm gonna buy a big house or go to Hawaii. I'm just like, I just want to be able to like finance a bunch of cool stuff, and everyone's like, you're dumb,
pay my bills,
like,
and not work for 2 years.
Your dreams are so not cool.
My wealth dreams,
do I want to buy I want to buy more beautiful dresses, hands down. I for sure want that, but when I actually think about what I'm going to do with it, I'm like, I don't want to be bored. Like, I want to be able to do the stuff that I want to do now but have it paid for.
Mine are all venal or spite based. Like I have
not
like
spite based.
Yeah, no, when you grow up like, and I didn't grow up some like hard scrabble orphan or anything like that. But when you have a single parent, like we didn't have.
Yeah.
And to me, it's entirely it's so fucked up, and it's something that I know is fucked up. That's the worst when that happens to you, where you're like, you know a thing is so unhealthy and wrong, and yet you...
Those are the strongest feelings.
Yeah. And so to me, to be wealthy would be able to say, like, see, you fucking idiots.
Yes, I agree
beat
with
you
that
all.
Also.
Like, yeah. it's hugely spite-based.
Yeah.
And then also I just love things. It's, you know what, it's so nice is to not have to ever worry about money.
Yeah.
Like, that's where I would, like, to know that if the spirit moved us to, like, go on a trip, we would just go on a trip. Or, like, anyone in my family needs anything.
Yes. All of that.
Or like you say, to be able to help with other stuff as well.
And so, like, if my friends are like, I have this idea, I'm like, great, we're just going to do that.
Here's, do it.
That's what I want. I want that.
That would be nice.
So, also, my C is career. I just, I feel like I'm never going to get over my, just that people are finding out that I'm a fraud, like, every day. I'm just never going to get over that.
But that's the patchwork thing,
too,
of course, right?
It is. Yeah.
Chances are, when you're doing eight different things, you are slightly fraudy in one of them.
Of course you are. And also, like, knowing that I have to have a day job and do all that stuff, and, like, that I kind of have a career, but then also I'm just some schlub. Like, it's just a really messed up, you know, like, little bouncing ball to be inside of. And you're like, I'm kind of bruised from just being in that space. So, yeah, that's my deal.
I like that one.
Mine's gonna be very dude-ish, but I don't mean it to be.
Yes.
I was hoping we get Catholicism or something. Like,
no, I think Catholicism's funny.
Do you?
Yeah. It may have screwed me up a bunch, but whatever. I would say
it didn't touch me.
Commitment.
Oh,
like commitment to, like, and I don't mean like to a person, because I'm like, I don't actually find that anxiety inducing. Commitment to ideas, or committing to like even purchasing a home or anything that involves me having to do something for longer than 2 years makes me go, what if this is the completely wrong idea and I put myself in such a bad situation that I hate my life?
Yeah.
And so it's like, there's, anything that involves me having to commit to something for an extended period of time freaks me out.
But the idea that you can quit things is so freeing.
But do you really feel like you can quit them? Because
some things that you can quit and some things that you can't.
Yeah.
I feel there's, like, to me, quitting scares me, because to me, quitting, I always associate with, like, a gut-wrenching, terrible experience of, like, disappointing people and just, it's, there's a reason I don't quit things.
But, and quitting things, too, is, like, because to quit something and then feel like that was the wrong decision.
Oh, yeah. And you're like, what if you're
10 million times worse?
What if
than
you were
like,
a moment from success? Or like, what if the moment you're from quitting things, somebody else takes it on and it just like fucking blows up? And you're like,
that's why the concept of no regrets is so fucked up to me. It's like, of course people have regrets. It's just how you choose to deal with your feelings of not doing that thing or making the wrong choice or whatever it is. Like, it's not about not having regrets. It's about being able to actually deal with your choices in a way. So if you're cavalier about it, that's fine. That's your dealing with it.
Did any of you guys ever own no regrets t-shirts?
Do you mean no fear?
Oh, damn it.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I did.
Yeah,
when I was like 10, I for sure had one.
Yeah.
What did I had a Wandetta shirt. I had a no fear shirt. Don't even come
I out. Feel like 10. Where are you? Like,
or
what
11?
Year were you born?
I was born in 1979.
Okay, yeah.
So it was like 10, 11, 12, in that range.
Yeah, because I'm born in 1980, and I feel like no fear.
It was maybe sixth grade.
Was like summer before grade 8. I feel like I was like 92, 93.
It started earlier.
Big.
Also, maybe because I'm...
Trail.
It was like way more popular, and it caught on. Finally, we got something first.
You were ahead of the curve.
Trashy
on no
t-shirts.
Fear. Which one did you have? I'm trying to remember which one I had.
Mine was one of the quote ones that just had like all text.
Yeah.
It didn't really have an image. Some of them had like an image too. I don't remember the one.
Mine was kind of a like tealy blue, like that legit early 90s color.
Oh, it's the best.
And
the San Jose Sharks color.
Yeah, sort of exactly in that kind of wheelhouse. And I can't remember which quote I had. I mean, the one that you always remember is like the... He who dies with the most toys still dies. That was like the big no fear.
I don't remember any
a guy
quotes.
That I know but that I then that obviously bought a huge truck.
Yeah.
He had that shirt.
Your slight youngerness than us is the difference between text no fear and image no fear.
Yeah, because no fear when I was around was just the blurry image.
That was Massimo.
No Fear also
did blurry text. Oh.
Because there was the...
And it was like not blurry, but like kind of like when they do...
And the little logo with the guy with the eyes and the big eyebrows.
And that came along.
That came along.
Yeah.
But
so that's what I remember.
Original No Fear was the classic early 90s t-shirt thing of big thing on the back of the t-shirt, small logo, so like the Voirnet style. Like,
instead of having your Lacoste like on your polo, it was like some trashy little thing here.
Like, it was got to be really in style to wear like a t-shirt that was embroidered with a cartoon character over your left breast.
Okay. Over your heart.
Yeah, like over your heart. Like that to me... That's how I know like a t-shirt is from the 90s, is if it's got
embroidery.
Embroidery or anything just like over the heart and nothing else on the front.
Okay.
I once was trying to write a poem about No Fear t-shirts because that's the kind of stuff I'm into. Yeah. But it was really hard to find them from that era, so I kind of gave up. But now you're making me think about it again because of my clothing poem project that I'm working on. And now I want this.
Say? I'm trying to remember what it said, but it was just like, And it wasn't this one either, but like another one was like, it's not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog. Like, it was just like the kind of, like it's a folksy, pre-internet. They were like memes, folksy really. Memes, yeah. Like you were wearing meme.
They were.
You guys sound so old.
No, you're like,
get your t-shirt memes.
Yeah, t-shirt memes. Big on the back, small on the chest. That was the, so when I say Voirnet, that doesn't do anything for you?
No.
That doesn't jog anything.
That also was the height of unisex, just being a t-shirt with a crew neck.
Yeah.
Like.
And like red jeans.
Oh, I had a pair.
That's something that like Doc Brown, like low cut Doc Brown shoes, red jeans or green jeans. And
I had every color jeans.
Yeah. I think
back
I had
when I used
green.
To wear jeans, I had all the colors of jeans.
Wow.
And I had colored shorts also, like denim shorts.
Red was like, that was a, like that to me is clearly in my kind of gender memory. That was on the other side of the line. Like a boy would never wear red jeans.
Definitely not.
If you wore colored jeans, you wore like black jeans or green jeans.
And there, but at the time, if you wore like jeans.
Mustard.
Cool, cool and urban, there was the cross colors stuff that came out at that time. And some dudes who were like, people aren't going to make fun of me. I'm going to be able to wear this. And they could.
Yeah.
But if you were lower social class of like middle school, not allowed.
There's a photo of me like on Christmas Day of like I'm like 12 or something like that. And I'm just wearing this like very tight plaid pattern, like buttoned all the way to the neck.
Yeah, as you did.
Boston Red Sox, you know, B hat. Like that, and that's what kids in my neighborhood looked like, or the bucket
and
hats.
Now
like
that's
a Georgetown
what everyone
Hoyas
wears.
yeah it's kind of come back
Hoyas.
But like a Georgetown Hoyas bucket hat, that to me is like, it's weird how sometimes there are those, like there's like a team that for a few years will like supersede its territorial like the Charlotte Hornets.
Yes,
you said what I said last time I had this conversation, which is Charlottetown.
It's Charlotte Hornets.
Hornets,
you're right. As soon as you said it, I was like, I knew that I was wrong.
You're thinking of Anne of Green Gables.
I am.
But like Charlotte Hornets
was huge.
Like you could wear that. Everyone wore that.
Even
that
if like, that was like not your team or whatever you supported. It was just like a cool look.
But I had a Charlotte Hornets jacket that I had to basically give up.
Before that, in the late 80s, it was like all Bulls all the time.
Yeah.
Bulls.
But that's because they were winners.
Yes, they were winners.
And I don't know that that's what was happening with the Charlotte Hornets.
No, I think
people
were just like, cool new logo.
It's a cool logo.
Let's jump on that.
But I took my coat to A&W where I worked.
Wait, did you have like a starter jacket?
Yeah, like I had a puffy, like a nice, like a classic Charlotte Hornets jacket.
Fullback.
This is so amazing.
Chuck or no Chuck, it was pretty cool. But then here goes your erection. It just stunk of like onions because I brought it to
still there.
Like my A&W shift and like put it under the counter while I worked. And
that's what
had to
would
stop
do.
Wearing it.
Yeah.
No amount of polo sport could save
it. You couldn't do anything about that.
Okay. Well, speaking of onion stink, where can we find you online?
You can find me
CharlotteHornets.ca.
Charlotte Hornets fan. No fear / Aritzia t-shirt.
Yeah.
You can find 69. Just Google 69 and you'll find me.
No, that's at the end. Before .ca. Yeah.
You can find me on Twitter @CharlieDemers. That's probably the only place I want strangers to find me, I guess. Okay. This is my anything else.
You don't have like a cool website?
Next level of intimacy. I have a very
website?
Intermittent blog at Chuck of the Sea at, I think it's WordPress.
Okay.
I think. But I write so there maybe every like if something's just too long for a tweet.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's not a that's not the place to find me.
Okay.
Okay.
Twitter probably.
Twitter.
Just go
you
to
can,
Twitter, people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can find us also online at Twitter at Cantlit, mm-hmm. and you can find us at cantlit.ca or on Facebook, search us up. And then if you want to subscribe to us, we're on iTunes and Stitcher.
Yeah. Okay, Charlie. We only have one more question for you.
Oh, okay.
And that is, what can't you with?
Oh, what can't I with? I think right now the thing that is most consistently driving me nuts is the people couching their Hillary Clinton support within like the language of like super leftism, you know, like the people who are like couching their support for the like obviously further right candidate within the language of like kind of insurgent underdog badassery. I think that's the thing that's driving me the most nuts right now. Like, if you just want the like, this like basically, you know, right wing candidate with this just horrible record, then that's fine. But like, I hate the like couching of like Bernie Sanders as some sort of like cultural overdog. I guess that's the thing. That's
Wait, are people
me
calling him
right
a
now.
Cultural overdog?
Well, I just think there's a
also,
lot
is
of
that a term I can start using.
Cultural overdog. Check it out. It's not the size of the cultural overdog in the fight.
No
it's the
fear.
Size of the fight of the cultural
no
overdog.
Fear.
Yeah. No, I just I feel like there are a lot of there's a lot of kind of like Twitter snark on just on the various kind of social media platforms. Right now that where just the I just feel like the level of conversation around it is just it's abjectly depressing.
Yeah, there should be more like it's fine that that's the candidate you want to go with. And
yeah.
That's the candidate you think is going to win to
yeah.
keep it from a right wing government. Sure. But also like be honest and know that like she hasn't been very progressive in so many ways.
No.
And like there's been like though I get mad when like there's like one gay guy's cape for Hillary Clinton and you're like she did not give a shit about your gay rights or
no.
anything like along those lines. She never voted for you. She adamantly said she was against it. So it's like and Bernie was there for you in that respect.
Yeah.
So it's like that's fine. You still think you want her as the candidate, but also know that she's not like don't fake it.
No, and have the courage of your conviction that you want, like, who you see as the, like, the candidate who has a better chance of winning,
yeah.
or, like, even if it
right.
if it is, like, a kind of gender barrier breaking, like, if that's the case that you're making, then just make that as the case,
yeah.
as opposed to finding these kind of, like, Byzantine academic ways in which, like Bernie Sanders can be cast as anything but like the evidently insurgent left wing candidate in that whole thing. It's been a weird few weeks on Twitter where I'm just like on the one hand so jealous, like I'm so envious of what's going on in the States.
Yeah.
And
especially the Republicans.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
It's like really awesome.
But I just mean like the fact that like that a leading contender for the presidential nomination for the Democratic Party, which is a like just a patently despicable party. Like it was the party of slavery and
yeah.
Jim Crow, like just the Vietnam War, an absolutely disgusting party, has this in it. This whole Bernie Sanders thing, while we've got like Thomas Mulcair in the NDP is like to me just heartbreaking and embarrassing. But earlier this afternoon, I've never done this before. I went to my like riding association meeting and I got voted a delegate so that I could go to the NDP convention in April and vote against Mulcair in the leadership review. So like on the one hand, I've just been like so envious of what's going on in the States and wishing there was something like that going on up here. And then when I see that, just the level of the conversation and just the acrimony and the easy, like casual way in which people toss off these like really profound kind of, accusations against people, I just, it just makes me feel so depressed and gross. So I guess I can't. With that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fair. Also, mm-hmm. Bernie today told his Bernie bros basically they can go fuck themselves.
He told his Bernie bros?
Yeah, he's like, don't use misogynist language because you don't like my opponent.
Oh, that's good.
Because he's adorable.
One of the cool things...
Also, that's just normal behavior.
Yeah. Yes.
But,
yeah.
in political discourse, it's not considered normal behavior. No. So that's what's great about it. Okay, well, everything's great.
Thanks. That's the only thing I can't with.
Yeah.
So I can't with that. I'm scared.
And thanks for listening.
Thank you for having me.
Bye. Bye.